Thanks, Chris. Danny, could you just pass me the water? It's the one on the left, not the one on the right. I don't know who the one on the right is. And I don't want to drink that. It could be from anyone, especially you. No, I miss him, really. Actually, when he said, what do you miss? It should have just been, I miss Dan. I do miss Dan a lot. I miss you all, actually, a lot. Who said that? It came like from the shadows. No, I'm like, who? And no, yeah, one things I don't miss: dressing up as a donkey, dressing up as a tiger, as a lion, a lion sitting on that thing. But no, I do miss you guys, and it is really, really nice to be in kind of familiar surroundings, familiar faces, and hugs, and it's been fantastic. It's me that's been bugging Chris actually for months, saying, when are you gonna have me back? When are you gonna have me back? When are you gonna have me back? Can I come back? Can I come back now? Like, I'm like, if you just pick a date, I can tell people at New Life that you need me to come down on this date and we can sort it out. And he's like, okay. And then I think he got really busy with a nativity thing or something. And so he was like, please come down. But it's good to be here. It's good to see you all. Obviously, I'm not alone. I've got my NLC crew with me. Whoop, whoop. We didn't practice on the way down, but maybe my NLC crew are with me. Whoop, whoop. Come on. One thing I noticed about this place when I first came is that they have got really big gobs. not in a mean way, but they sing like, where's Toby? You can always point out where Toby is. Literally like, no. They just, so got my NLC crew here. Whoop, whoop. Yeah, now we're talking. Now we're getting there. We'll bring down a whole big crew next time. We'll just take over. And they were really worried, actually. In the car, they said, they're not going to be mad at us, are they, for taking you away from them? And I was like, nah, they were quite happy to get rid of me, actually. So it was quite good. But I love this, because it's like a reunion. It's like a reunion of friends. And I love reunions. I love getting together with people. I love Christmas for the reason of reunions, of seeing my family, seeing my sister come down from Cheltenham, and seeing different family members at Christmas time. I think it's just amazing. And tonight, I've been given the theme of real Christmas. And I'm like, okay, what's real Christmas? And I'm guessing it's not the tinsel, it's not the turkey, but real Christmas is all about presents. Is that right? Did I get that right? Chris told me, talk about real Christmas. That's presents, right, Genevieve?
No.
You're in charge. Is it about...
You like
it. Who's it about?
You
were lied to?
Yeah.
We're going off track here, but we can't quit. Okay, right. And moving on. So, I've been told to talk about the real Christmas, obviously, about Jesus. We're all about Jesus. Oh, yeah, sorry. I'll give you some backdrop for everyone else here. Last year, we destroyed Genevieve's Christmas stream because we told her that there was no donkey. Yes, and there was no... back me up, and there was no innkeeper, or it might have not been an innkeeper, it might have been family, and basically we just decided to destroy all of their Christmases all in one morning, and then build them back up and tell them how it was all about Jesus. So that's what we're here tonight. We're here to look at the real Christmas, we're here to look at Jesus and God coming to earth. And so, in the Gospels, hello, I've got a card in here for some reason, in the Gospels, they three of them talk about the birth of Christ, two of them go into really big detail. So Matthew and Luke, they like give you like all the details that there was a donkey. I mean, there wasn't a donkey and that there was all this stuff. And they go really into it. Mark just seems to completely skip over it and just goes for full out adult Jesus with a beard and smelling of Old Spice and just looks cool. And then you've got John, who decides, do you know what? I'm just going to sum it all up in one sentence and get this over and done with. And so he says... John says in John 1:14, he says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. John's like, I'm going to just wrap this all up, just sum it all up in a nice bow. God came down to earth and was with us. I want you to pray with me before we start, so let's just pray again. Father God, we just ask that you would speak to us all individually and corporately as a group here tonight. We just want to see more of you. We want to have more of your presence. And would you speak to us in a way that we would know that it was you, a tangible presence and speaking to us, that when we leave this place, we will be changed, knowing that we have met with you this evening. Amen. Is anyone here a cat fan or cats fans? Who has to do the show of hands? Cats, hands up. Dogs, hands up. Oh, actually, yeah, let's have a, dogs will have a woof and cats will have a meow and we'll see who's louder, okay? Right, dogs. There's a dog in the PA system, apparently. Cats. Dogs. It's funny because it's delayed. Cats. Yeah, there's a lot of female cats. I think it's like, you like cats, don't you? You love cats. I love cats, okay? Parents bought two cats, a black and white one with a ginger beard, like me, and then it had a white one, pure white, with piercing blue eyes. And their names are Floyd and Shifty. I named Floyd because he was like technically my cat, and Shifty was technically Jack's cat, who's sitting over there. So, but they were my parents' cats. So if we ever move out or if anything happens, they're staying with my parents, but they're kind of our cats. But we don't really look after them, do we? The parents do all of that. We just say, this is my cat and that's your cat, and we play with them every now and again and tickle their belly. But we got two cats. We have Floyd and Shifty. Shifty, unfortunately, in the summer, passed away. Was a very unwell cat. But I have a story to share with you about Shifty, which is incredible. And actually, it kind of highlights where I want to go with this whole evening. So Shifty is a very home cat, okay? So Floyd would go off for hours, and in the summer, he'd go off for days, and you wouldn't see him, and he'd come back, and he'd have some food and say, hi, I'm still alive, and then he'd go back out again. Shifty wouldn't spend any more than 2 hours, 2.5 hours away from the house, would always return, just because he likes sitting like on the table or on the floor or on the rugs or anything. He just never really left. He kind of would go off, do his cat thing in somebody else's garden, and then come back. And that was Shifty. He was very home cat. But all of a sudden, one week, he went out to do his cat thing, and he didn't come back. He didn't come back for a few hours, and we're like, oh, sound like Shifty not to come back. Well, I wonder who he is. And then it was evening, and then nighttime, and you're shaking the box, and the key's at the back of the door, and you're shouting the name, Shifty, Shifty. And it's like, Floyd's like, I'm back. What's going on? It's dinner. Shifty, Shifty. The neighbors must think we're nuts. Like, Shifty, out the back of the door. And he didn't come back. And then we're like, okay, well, maybe he'll come back tomorrow. We don't need to call the police just yet. It's fine. And next day comes and goes, and Shifty's still not back. And the next day comes and goes, and Shifty's still not back. And we're like, ooh, it's a bit worrying. Not seeing Shifty in a few days. Hope he's all right. And this is going on, and I think it got to 2 weeks. Shifty's nowhere to be seen. There's no evidence of him being anywhere else. There's nothing. Me and Dan are now putting up posters on lampposts. We're handing out, kind of looking around, we're going around all the streets, where could he be lost, could he be trapped somewhere, trying to find this cat. And one Sunday evening, or during the Sunday actually, we'd mentioned in church, you know, cat's still missing, if we could just, it's weird, isn't it, when you say, can you pray for the cat, but it was kind of like, can we just have some kind of, if he's alive, can we have him back, if he's not, can we know, do you know what I mean, you just want to know at that point, you just want to know whether your loved one is okay, your cat is okay. So I'm still living at home at this point, and it's the evening, Sunday evening, and I'm in bed, and I'm watching TV, and my mum opens the door, and she goes out, and so I can hear this from the front bedroom window, and she goes and she puts something in the recycling bin, and the recycling bin's got that, like, you can always know it's a recycling bin, because it slams and you hear the thing, and I was like, all right, mum's putting the rubbish out, and then she came back and she closed the door, and as she closed the door, I heard a meow, and I went, oh, She's opened the door, Floyd's got out, she's come in, not seen him, and closed it, and now Floyd's at the door. So, oh. So I get out of bed, and of course I'm in bed, ready for bed, so I'm obviously just in my pants, so I'm just like looking out the window, and I just see this white cat. And now there was another white cat down the road, but it didn't have a tail, so you could always tell between the two, but this white cat had a tail, and I was just like, I literally pegged it down the stairs and just went, Shifty's at the door! Ran to the door, opened it, and there was no cat. And I just went, Shifty? And literally, from round the corner of the wall, this cat just went, meow. And I was like, Shifty! Shifty! Don't want to shout too loud, because you think the cat's going to just run off, she's going to leg it. I ran out into the street, in my pants, grabbed the cat and just run, and I literally like rugby threw it into the house and then closed the door and was like, is this Shifty? Can it be Shifty? Is it really him? Because at this point, Shifty's looking rather skinny for 2 weeks. I don't think he ate for 2 weeks. And I'm like, is it Shifty? Mum and dad, Jack, all like downstairs. Cat, is it him? It is him. This is Shifty. This is definitely him. Put a bowl of food down. The guy just woofed it. It was like, animal could not believe that we had been reunited with our cat. And you should have seen us. We were like possessed. We were like phoning everyone, like, our cat's come back. The prodigal cat has returned. We've been waiting for the cat and it's here. And I go, oh. You want to hold it up like Simba from Lion King, like, oh. And it's just like this amazing thing. And the feeling, I don't know about you guys, it's just the feeling of just having the cat back was just incredible. Just to have this reunion with the cat that was lost for 2 weeks. And you just think, how sad is a cat? But you learn to love your pets. And we loved Shifty, and we still do love Shifty. We miss him. But yeah, just to have him there and that whole moment was just, I was just jumping around the house in my pants, basically, for about 2 hours, telling everyone on the phone. That wasn't FaceTime or anything. It was just on the phone, like, audio, saying, I found my cat. But the Christmas story, I want to kind of throw this out there, is a reunion story. It's a moment where God is reunited with man. So you've got the garden, you've got man, and you've got God, and they're in perfection. And then you have the fall, and then you have man and God, and you have separation. But now, God has come to earth. He takes the human form, and he dwells, John says. He dwells, he moves. Is it the message? He moves into the neighborhood. He moves in. He is one with the people. And just like old times, God and man are reunited together again in reunion. The birth of Jesus is the greatest reunion and rescue mission ever known in the history of the world. And as humans, we love reunions, do we not? Yes. We love the shows like Surprise, Surprise, when they say, oh, so when was the last time you saw your nan? And they say, oh, well, it was about 10 years ago. We were walking in the forest. I lost her. And I haven't seen her for like 10 years. And they go, well, tonight she's here. And she walks out. And she's got like a stick. And they're like, oh, my God, that's here. And they go running up. And I just love those shows. I love it. And they're just like, oh, you didn't know you had a brother, did you? But you do. His name's John and he's here. And they're like, what? And I've got to like, but we love it because there's this moment. Like when... Have you ever watched those videos when people come home, like at the airport, and people embrace? If you want to go see just love and reunion in one hall, just go wait at the airport and just watch loved ones just reunite. Because there is something gripping about seeing reunions, seeing people come together. We love reunions. We long for reunions. And at Christmas time, what do the majority of us all do? We have family reunions, whether you like it or not. Some of us look forward to those family reunions and some of us don't. I do, just because they're here. We have reunions with our families. We reunite with our loved ones and our friends. And we love stories about reunions and coming together. Why do you think the prodigal son is so often talked about? Because we love this image and this moment where the father and the son are connected back and they come back together and there's that reunion. Why do you think we love the story of the lost sheep where he just goes off to find the one and they're reunited? And all these stories about reunion, we love it. It's about things not being quite right, but longing, hoping, and praying that one day it will be and we will be reunited. Thousands of years had passed between the original garden and the birth of Christ. And all of this time, God's people are saying, something isn't right, but one day, things will be reunited back to God. All the promises and the prophecies about the Messiah coming, thousands of years, they held on to this, longing for a complete reunion with God. And now here it is, Christ is born, the Messiah is here. It's not as some may have expected him to appear, But here he is. God is here in flesh and blood, dwelling amongst the locals. God and mankind reunited the way it should be, like the good old days of man and God. And in today's culture, in kind of the Christmas time thing, Christmas and the birth of Christ is often seen as like the beginning of the story. Like, oh, it's Christmas, Jesus is born, this is where it starts, this is where, and Easter's the end. So it becomes this Disney story of, yeah, well, he's born, he does all these cool things, he dies, the end. It's this Disney story. However, if we take a step back and we look at like history and look at the world in its entirety, we see that the Christmas story isn't really the beginning at all, it's the reunion. And we can see the story is so much bigger than this lovely story that we tell at Christmas time of our kids and family members. It's the moment of reunion and rescue for the entire human race. For you and for me, God coming to earth means he is about to do the impossible. He is about to save mankind. He is about to pull off the greatest rescue mission ever known and create a way in which you and me can be fully reunited with God Almighty, like it was always meant to be. Like it was always meant to be. So this is why, when I think of real Christmas, I love it. Because I used to get caught up with trees, tinsel, presents, Muppets Christmas Carol. It's a great movie, you should watch it, Christmas time. I'm at Home Alone as well. No, not so much. And I used to get caught up in all of that, and actually, you lose the point. You think, And then you get in that, well, it's just a bit in that where Jesus is born. It's important, because if Jesus wasn't born, we wouldn't have all this other stuff. But actually, if you just look at it as entirety, we just see that there's this moment where God just says, I'm going to come to you. You've been trying to come to me for years, and we've had all these different ways of trying to do it, but now I'm coming to you, because I'm going to come and get you, basically. I've got one more story to share, and then I'm going to finish. It's a story I heard someone say a couple of weeks ago. And I just think it's a really great reunion story. So the story begins with a young pastor and his wife. The church they had been called to was an old church. It had an old church building. And it had its glory days and was now just a little bit run down, a little bit ragged around the edges, church and people. But the couple loved their church. And they got to work improving the building and working with the people in there. However, late in December, a severe storm in the town happened, and a huge chunk of rain-soaked plaster fell out from the inside wall just behind the pulpit. Upset, the pastor and his wife swept away the mess, but they couldn't hide the huge, ragged hole behind the pulpit. The pastor looked at it, and he had to remind himself quickly that thy will be done, but his wife just kept crying and saying, Christmas is 2 days away. What are we going to do? That afternoon, the couple attended an auction held for a benefit of a youth group that was in the town. And pretty sad, they just sat there and watched all these things be sold off. The auctioneer opened a box and he folded some this handsome gold and ivory lace tablecloth. It was a magnificent item, nearly 15 feet long, but it too dated from a long vanished era. It was a bit past it. The pastor thought to himself, who today would have any use for such a thing? There were a few half-hearted bids. Then the pastor thought, hang on a minute, I've got a great idea. He bid $6, obviously we're in America. He won the tablecloth, and he carried the cloth back to the church and tacked it up to the wall behind the altar. He completely hid the hole. Hole's gone. And the extraordinary beauty of the cloth by candlelight made it look stunning, look beautiful. It was a great triumph, the pastor thought. Happily, he went back to prepping his Christmas sermon. Just before noon, on the day of Christmas Eve, as the pastor was opening the church, he noticed a woman standing in the cold by the bus stop. The bus won't be here for 40 minutes, he yelled out, and he invited her to come into the church and stay warm until the bus turned up. She told him that she'd only come from the city that morning to be interviewed for a job as a governess to the children of one of the wealthy families in town, but that she'd been turned down and she didn't get the job. She was a war refugee and her English was kind of broken and she didn't speak very well. The woman sat down in the pew, warmed her hands and rested. After a while, she dropped her head and she prayed. When she finished praying, she looked up, and as the pastor began to adjust the great gold and ivory cloth across the hole, she rose suddenly and walked up to the steps at the front. She looked at the tablecloth. The pastor smiled and started to tell her about the storm damage, but she wasn't listening. She took up a fold of the cloth and she rubbed it between her fingers and she said, "It's mine. This is my banquet cloth." She lifted up a corner and showed the surprised pastor that her initials were actually on it. The next few minutes, the woman and the pastor talked excitingly together. She explained that she was Austrian and that she and her husband had opposed the Nazis during the war and decided to leave the country. They were advised to go separately. Her husband put her on a train to Switzerland and they planned that he would join her as soon as he could arrange to ship all of their household goods to Switzerland. And she never saw him again. Later, she heard that he had died in the concentration camp. And she'd always felt that it was her fault to leave without him. But she said, "Perhaps these years of wandering have been my punishment." The pastor tried to comfort her and urged her to take the cloth with her. She refused, and then she went on her way. As the church began to fill on Christmas Eve for its service, it was clear that the cloth was going to be a great success. It looked beautiful, especially by candlelight. After the service, the pastor stood at the doorway saying goodbye to people. Many people told him that the church looked beautiful, the cloth looked incredible. One gentle-faced middle-aged man, he was a local clock and watch repairman, looked rather puzzled. "It is strange," he said in his soft accent. "Many years ago, my wife, God rest her, and I owned such a cloth. In our home in Austria, my wife put it on the table, but only when the bishop came round." The pastor became suddenly very excited. He told the jeweller about the woman who'd been in the church earlier that day. The startled man clutched the pastor's arm. He said, "Can it be? Is she still alive?" Together, the two got in touch with the family who had interviewed her and not given her the job. They found out where she lived. Then in the pastor's car, they headed off for the city. And as Christmas Day came around, the pastor got to witness the best reunion he had ever seen in his life. The record says that they were apart for 35 years. Whether this story is true or not, 35 years is a long time to be separated from someone. I felt 2 weeks was too long to be separated from Shifty. But to be away from the one you love most, 35 years, thousands of years to be separated from the ones that you love most. The Christmas story is the reunion story. But my question for all of you tonight is this. Have you had your personal reunion with God? Have you had your personal reunion with God? Have you had your reunion, but now you need another one? Good news. You can have as many as you want. And you don't have to wait 35 years, or 2 weeks, or 1,000 years. God longs for a reunion with you right now, in this moment. God wants to reunite you whether you've been away for years, days, hours even. The real Christmas is about God coming to earth to rescue, to restore, to reconcile, to rescue all of mankind to himself, and ultimately create an everlasting reunion with those who he loves the most, the way it was always meant to be. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for coming to earth, for saving us, for realizing that we could never reach you and that you would have to come to us. We ask that as we come to this time of Christmas that this is what we would focus on. You would who we will focus on. That we will not be distracted by the glitz and glams of Christmas, of what it looks culturally in this country. But actually, we would remember the reunion with you and the constant reunions we have with you when we keep coming back to you in repentance and in prayer. We thank you that you are a God who doesn't run out of reunions. And regardless of what we've done or who we've been or where we're going, that you are a God who says, come here, I love you, and that's all there is to it. We thank you for coming down, for dwelling amongst us, for ultimately paying the ultimate price, the one that we couldn't pay for saying, it's okay, I'll take that punishment. Give it to me. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings and everything that you do for us and who that you are for us. Help us to focus on you this Christmas. Amen.